I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week just breaking those myths that women from working from home are building businesses in between, you know, bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are out there making a difference. And while it is Word of Mom Radio, occasionally there are these wonderful men that I get to run across through this social media journey that bring such wonderful value across the board. And I really wanted to share this gentleman today. Dave Kirpin is a serial entrepreneur. He's a New York Times bestselling author, a global keynote speaker, and he's the founder and CEO of Likeable Local, a social media software company serving thousands of small businesses, as well as the chairman and co-founder of Likeable Media, an award-winning social media and word-of-mouth marketing agency for big brands. His newest book, The Art of People, 11 Simple People Skills That Will Get You Everything You Want, is out now. And his next book is Normal, which is going to be published in 2019. So, Dave, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And it's funny, you didn't mention this in my bio, but I actually am a pretty active parent in my kids' education. I'm on my local school board, and I'm the guy that when the teacher calls for volunteers for class moms at the beginning of the year, I say, wait a minute, don't you mean class parents, and have proudly served as a class parent several times. So I certainly know the shuffle that so many moms go through when trying to build a business and be there for their family, and hopefully I can be helpful today.
You know, it's funny because I've always coined the term mompreneur. And somebody lambasted me once and was like, mompreneur, so what are there, dadpreneurs? And I'm like, why not?
Yeah,
parents,
yeah, exactly.
Who build their life and build their businesses around their children and their families because they're smart enough to know that that's what's really important. You know, it's not an insult to people to put that parenting part first.
It,
you know, so
be.
I love that.
Yeah, it certainly shouldn't be, and yet, you know, a society has a way of kind of labeling people, obviously, and we do it to ourselves, as you just admitted. So, yeah, I think bottom line is what I am absolutely most proudest of in my accomplishments, if you will, is my three kids and, you know, the fact that my wife and I are raising them, sort of together, 50-50, while building our businesses and brands, as well. So yeah, that's definitely what's most important.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about Likeable Local, Likeable Local, and Likeable Media. Give people a little overview on this.
Sure. So the first company I started with my wife 11 years ago now, and back in 2007, and we were fortunate enough to get into social media marketing and content marketing pretty early on. And we built a company that now, you know, over the last 10, 11 years has served some of the great world's biggest brands, doing social media and content marketing for those brands. 1-800-Flowers.com, Verizon, IMAX, Seamless, Grubhub, Century 21, many, many recognizable large brands. But about 5 years ago, I got the bug to start something to help small businesses, because we had gotten just thousands and thousands of inquiries from small business owners, mompreneurs, if you will, parentpreneurs, if you will, and other small business owners online and offline who wanted our help at Likeable Media. But, you know, we really couldn't help them because we had structured the company such, you know, to have services and products for big companies. I mean, we were just priced way out of the range for small businesses to take advantage of our services. So I built Likeable Local as a second company in order to have a platform that small businesses could leverage so that they could get some of the best of what we were doing for big brands, but at a super affordable price. The way I like to say it is, you know, instead of charging, you know, big companies $20,000 a month, we're charging small businesses $200 a month. And obviously, you can't get quite the same level of creative and service, but you know, we do our best to make to offer real value for small businesses that Likeable Local works with.
Well, you know, and I am going to say, as one of those women who built a business from home, you know, $200 a month, while it doesn't sound like a lot, is a lot when you are your own business. And people don't realize that sometimes you actually have to invest in your business. And that's the, you know, the kind of work that Likeable Local does is really an investment in your business, being able to do that. But, you know, it's funny because I can remember where that $200 a month price tag is just like, you know, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to jockey it around. But, you know, you have to invest money in yourself to make money. And I have to say, as somebody who knows your platform and everything else, I think Likeable Local is a great social media platform. It really is. I think you guys are doing a great job there. I really do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I understand, you know, trust me, as someone that started with nothing, built our businesses, I know that sometimes it's hard to part with dollars. But the way I like to think about it, I mean, I do see it as an investment. And I also, you know, we have to value our time. And small business owners and solopreneurs are doing so much work. They're doing everything. They're wearing 5, 6, 7, 10 hats. And, you know, it becomes hard to grow. Frankly, it becomes hard to exist if you're doing everything. And that's where, you know, the very important skill of delegating and outsourcing comes into play. And you know, starting to have others help you and other vendors help you in order to free up time to do what you're very best at.
And, you know, let's face it, it's the transition from working in your business to working on your business. As you delegate, as you outsource things, you are now working on the business. Because in the beginning, let's face it, you are in your business. You are entrenched in it. And every single thing that goes on is you and you alone as you start out. So, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to have companies like yours out there that give people that ability to take those next steps and to start without a huge, you know, investment and an outsourcing cost. So I applaud you on that. And I have to ask you, so morphing from Likeable Local and Likeable Media, how did you get into writing and where did the art of people come from? And then we'll talk about Normal because I can't wait to hear about the rest of that.
Sure. So my first book was called Likeable Social Media, and I wrote that. I was very fortunate. You know, again, we got into social media really early, and a couple of years into the business, I got a phone call from McGraw-Hill. They wanted me to write one of the first books on how to do social media marketing. And I had always wanted to write a book, but I had never, you know, like many people, I had never, you know, actually gone out and done it. And so having the head start of a publisher ask me to do it obviously made it much, much easier. And took about 6-7 months, and it was probably the hardest thing I had ever done in my career at the time. But I got that book out, and fortunately, did very, very well. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's been translated to 14 languages. We actually have the third edition coming out in February as well. So I'm very excited about that. And then along the way, I got the bug, I guess. And so I kept writing books. I wrote a book called Likeable Business a couple years later, which is my best reviewed book, if my worst selling book. I think it has a really bad cover, and everyone in fact judges a book by its cover, but that's a book actually I'm pretty proud of because of the fact that it's so well reviewed. And then I brought in my horizons again to write The Art of People, which is I took a lot of the same things I was writing about in my first two books, the power of listening, authenticity, transparency, gratitude, and put it into a book about people skills that really, frankly, anyone can benefit from. And that book has done really well, too. I'm really excited about that. And then, Yeah, last my kids had kept saying to me, "Daddy, when are you going to write a book that we can read?" And so I kept sort of putting them off, and finally I said, "Now, now I'm going to write a book that you can read." And that's my latest project that will hopefully become an actual book in 2019, and it's called Normal. It's a young adult a book that tackles issues around mental health and fitting in. It's about four kids growing up in New York, all of whom think that they're not normal and from normal families, and they end up meeting and realizing that it's sort of perhaps better to be special than this the so-called normal. So finally, that's really a book I wrote for my kids, but if others end up reading it, then even better.
What a great impetus for writing a book. Daddy, when are you going to write a book that we can read?
Yeah, well,
What?
I held out for a while. My first thought was, "Hey, you can read my other books," but the truth is that they were really weren't written. They really are business books and sort of adult, nonfiction books, not necessarily written for 12-year-olds.
Right, and since you don't need them to hone their social media skills right now,
Yeah, they're probably better at social media than most adults already.
isn't it frightening? I was working on a project once, I'll never forget it, and my oldest was 9. I mean, computers were just, getting there. We had a home computer, and I don't know what happened. I was working on a paper because I was a returning ed student, and 18 pages in, everything's gone. And I just let out this cry, and my son comes in from the other room. He's like, "Mommy, what happened?" I was like, "I don't know." And he was like, "Excuse me, please, do you mind getting up?" And I'm like, "No." And he sits down and he's like, "Click, click, 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 boom, boom. Here you go, Mom." I was like, I'm serious. It's an amazing thing because today's generation, the things that they've learned, it's scary because childhood should be a journey, not a race. And I think a lot of kids are losing that. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And then I want to get into really everything about normal and what's the takeaways and everything that you are looking to have people, come away with from writing this. So we will be back in a little bit. We're here with Dave Kirpin, and this is Word of Mom Radio. We're going to take a break and thank all of our fabulous sponsors that make these shows possible. So we'll be back in a little bit.
Hi, it's Dory DiCarlo, founder of Safety Bags Inc., a line of clear bags and backpacks there to assist with safety issues in schools, offices, airports, different workplaces, public venues, and sports arenas. Both professional and college sports have now adopted a clear bag policy. Anything larger than the palm of your hand has to be clear. With that in mind, we've launched stadiumbags.com for the dedicated sports fan and more. We've been featured on GMA's Deals and Steals, on As Seen on TV.pro with Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, Worldwide Business with Kathy Ireland, InStyle TV, and more. Our clear mini backpack, mini messenger bag, and tote bag in four colors meet the size requirements for both pro and college sports. You can visit us at stadiumbags.com and you'll see why we're the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Karius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
And we are back. This is Dory DiCarlo here on Word of Mom Radio, and I am chatting with Dave Kirpin, and we are talking about his new book that'll be coming out in 2019 called Normal. And as I mentioned before we took our break, what do you think the most important takeaway will be, or what do you want it to be?
Yeah, well, you know, in today's day and age, I think that with social media, messages are amplified, and such that kids grow up seeing what kids have always grown up trying to fit in. But now more than ever, there's this pressure to fit in, because if you don't, the world will see it each and every day. I mean, literally, I watch as my kids note, you know, who gets shout outs on Instagram and who doesn't get shout outs on Instagram. I mean, it's like so obvious where everyone fits in every single day. And so my goal is to have kids read this and maybe understand by going through the journey that the characters go through, maybe understand that this concept of fitting in, of being like everyone else, of being, quote, normal, unquote, really isn't all it's cracked up to be. And it's really, frankly, no such thing as normal if you really think about it. And it's this weird social construct that we all kind of grow up wanting to be normal, and then we don't really realize until we're adults. Sometimes people, frankly, never realize it, but I think most people realize that as adults that this concept of normal is just that, a concept that's not necessarily worth chasing by any means. But kids don't know that. Kids today. From all generations, I think they struggle with this, and they try to be normal. They try to fit in. They try to blend in instead of like appreciating who they are and who their families are and how they're different. And so my goal is, if kids can read this and maybe think, oh, I guess it's okay that I'm different from the perceived normal. It's okay that my parents are a little different from the perceived normal. And maybe that perceived normal doesn't exist, because maybe every single person is going through what I'm actually going through.
Well, you know, somebody once said to me that normal is a setting on a dryer.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense, because, you know, let's face it, when we were growing up, we didn't have to deal with this. My kids are older, so they were on the cusp. You know, MySpace had just started when my son was a senior. And I was like, I don't see any reason for you to have a MySpace page, because you want to make friends, go play a game of ball. You know, go get it, make friends on the ball field, go make friends at church, make friends at school. You know, but today's world is so online. You see the youngest of children with these, you know, phones and everything else. And we are. We're just bombarding our kids from every direction. And I applaud you for trying to bring things to light. And I know you use a term in there about being mental health positive. And I wanted to talk to you about that, because I think that that's a great term, and I'm kind of wanting to know what it means to you.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with there's four main characters in the book. Normal. One has a bipolar father, and that child is loosely based on my experience growing up. And the other, and another has an alcoholic parent, and the other has a parent that comes out as gay, and then the fourth has a parent who died. So they're all coming from these situations where, perhaps understandably, they feel like they're different, but in reality, you know, when we peel back the onion and we take a look at these situations, they're far more common than we might realize at first. And specifically mental health, one in four, I mean, between one in five and one in three, frankly, and I'll, depending on which statistic you look at, I'll use one in four as a middle ground. One in four people in their lives will be on medication for mental health issues. So it's a lot of people. You know, if you're in a room with 10 people, it's almost a guarantee that somebody in the room has in the past struggled or is currently struggling with mental health issues. And yet it's still this like non-talked about issue. It gets talked about when, you know, every so often somebody commits suicide and, you know, had struggled with depression or other mental health issues, and then it gets talked about for a couple of weeks and then it goes away. And I think that's a real, real issue. When I think about being mental health positive, it's about having the conversation and destigmatizing it and making it okay from the earliest of ages. So, you know, I have been I went to both my character in the both the character that's like me in the book and I began therapy as a child. I began therapy at age 11, and I've been in therapy, you know, on and off ever since. And I'm super proud of that, right? I don't think, you know, it's crazy in our society. If you go to the gym and you work out twice a week with a physical trainer, with a personal trainer, people say, awesome, way to go. If you go to a therapist twice a week, people say, what's wrong with you? And right. And so how in the world is that? If we want to work on our bodies, people cheer us on. If we want to work on our minds and hearts, people like shun us and think badly of us and think this, there's this big crisis going on. And so what we need to do as a society is become more mental health positive and start cheering people for going to therapy and start saying it's okay that you struggle with depression or anxiety or bipolar or schizophrenia or just you're in a bad mood. Like, that's okay. Instead of saying don't cry to children, right? When a child is crying, the first thing that mom or dad almost always says, especially the girls, by the way, is don't cry. But that's giving them a message from the earliest of ages that there's something wrong with crying. Instead of saying don't cry, let's say what's the matter? Let's talk about it. And make it okay to cry, and make it okay to express our feelings, and make it okay to go to a therapist, and make it okay to struggle with this. That we have a, and I don't know that normal is going to cure all of this in one shot, but my goal is to help stimulate this conversation, because it's a conversation that we so desperately need to have as a society, and we so rarely have. Like I said, we have it in the media and in social media every few months when somebody, you know, when we have a tragedy and then it goes away. And I'm hoping to start to change that.
Well, I applaud you for that. You know, I think back to when my mom died, and my middle son suffered the most because he was speech delayed. And my mother, there were times that he would speak and I'd look at my mom and be like, what did he say? Because I didn't understand it. She always understood it. And she had been dead maybe a month or two. And I just looked at him. I said, honey, what's the matter? And he was like, I'm missing grandmama. And he was like, you know, she was like my friend. She always understood me when I spoke. And he was saying it in his broken words and everything else. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, baby, I can't do anything, but if you want to cry, I can sit here and cry with you. And he was like, okay. And he climbed in my lap and we cried together for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he felt better and gave me a hug and a kiss and, you know, went off. But to me, crying is cathartic. It is the best way. I mean, you know, you look at the frustration level on people all over. I mean, even this holiday season, it's just there's something not right in the air. And I'm just not seeing that normal Christmassy holiday, you know, spirit thing happening. And so I think that the timing for your book is fabulous because, you know, emphasizing being mental health positive and being confident in even when you are struggling with things and seeking that outside help and advice, you know, whether it's a therapist or your spiritual leader, you know, somebody in your church or your synagogue or, you know, wherever you worship and, you know, taking ourselves out of what is going on in our lives sometimes is the healthiest thing you can do.
Yeah, and the whole irony, and you did your son such a favor. The whole irony is that when we don't deal with our emotions, when we don't cry, when we don't talk about it, that's when we actually end up in trouble, because it's when we bury things deep inside that later on in life they come back to haunt us. So that's, you know, it's perhaps counterintuitive, but it's been proven true time and time again. And so the earlier and the more often we embrace talking about feelings and expressing feelings, the better off we'll be as a society and as well as our children and as well as our adult selves. So, you know, normal is written, of course, for young adults, but I'm certainly hopeful that parents and teachers will read it as well and get something out of it.
Do you see a new future for mental health awareness and issues and, you know, just people being more open to, you know, saying that they need help?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's happening slower than I would want it to, but I do see a future in it, and I think that with every, you know, sad but true, with every new tragedy and crisis, that we sort of get closer to a future where, you know, there is greater openness around it. I found, you know, after I write in a column for Inc.com, and after the Kate Spade suicide, I wrote a very personal story about, you know, my own family and my dad's illness, and his mom actually suffered from depression and committed suicide. And when I wrote about that, I didn't realize just how many people it would touch and how many people would come out and say, wow, I've been affected in this way too. And right, so I think the more we do that, and the more people feel comfortable saying, yeah, I've dealt with this too, or somebody in my family did, the more we'll get to a place where people start to realize, you know, it's not so different, it's not so bad a thing.
Well, let's face it, you know, we all have our own different experiences, and everybody reacts to things in a different way, but depression is depression. And that feeling of overwhelm that, you know, for people who aren't depressed people, can't understand. And hopefully they can empathize, because nobody needs your sympathy. You know, that's not what people don't need sympathy. They need empathy. They need people to actually try to put themselves in their place, to think of what it is like to, you know, feel that. And you know, it's an amazing thing, because it's across the board. It has nothing to do with wealth, status. You know, some of the most depressed people I know live in the most beautiful homes you've ever seen, and you look at their life and it's like, what do you have to be depressed about? And people don't realize that it's something that has nothing to do with what you have. It has to do with how you react to what is around you and to your own feelings. You know, it's an amazing thing, you know, those words that hit harder than a fist sometimes, and the things that were said to you as a child, and, you know, you have kids. How do you, you know, model that? That's how we're going to close this out. How are you modeling this for your children?
Yeah, so my kids know that that I'm in therapy. My kids, we talk about our gratitude, which has been proven to increase happiness. We talk about our gratitude every single day at the dinner table, and you know, we model, my wife and I model talking about our feelings, and you know, parenting is tough, but all we can do, to your point, is model and help to demonstrate what we expect from them, and then, you know, and then hope that years later they turn out okay.
Well, you know, I say it all the time. You can only give them wings. They have to fly on their own. And all we can hope as parents is that we've given them strong enough wings that when they fly into the storm, they can, you know, muscle up and fly out. Because everybody can do fine when everything is wonderful. It's when life really hits you with those unexpected things that, you know, your true self and your strength, you find you're stronger than you ever dreamed possible at times in your life when things like that happen. So, Dave, please let everybody know how to get in touch with you. I'm so glad that you accepted our invitation to come and share. I'm so sorry that, you know, it goes so quickly. You know, but I'd love to have you back once normal's out. I'd love to read it and really go get involved in the book. You know, so let everybody know how to find you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I am pretty easy to find online. If you like Google All Things Likeable, LIKEABLE, or my last name is Kerpen, KERPEN. So I'm at Dave Kerpen on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram and Snapchat. Since I'm a social media guy, I happen to, you know, be pretty active on all those networks. And you can find all my books on Amazon pretty easily. And normal, you'll be able to get probably fall 2019, so a little ways to go. But, you know, please feel free to follow me and connect with me. Ask me any questions you want. We didn't talk about this, but I'm very, very much into giving away free value. So if you follow me or our companies, you'll get lots of hopefully very valuable, helpful, free information along the way.
And I can attest to that. He does give away great information, and we really thank you for it. So, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today on Word of Mom Radio. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here. This is Dori DiCarlo. I'll see you next time. And until then, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
Yes, bye for now, and have a wonderful weekend. We will be bringing Moms After Dark again on Friday night, February the 8th. But for this weekend, you will have to do without us. We will be back with Positively Entertaining with Beth Hilton on Monday. And today, we remind you to be happy, be healthy, and most importantly, to be yourself as we close out once again with the Smith Sisters bluegrass song, She Is You.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you.
Sure of herself, yes, she takes care of biz, powerful and strong. Yes, she knows who she is, has integrity, woman strong and true. You know her by name, see this woman is you. She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you.
Adds value and hope, has proved to be brave. See, it's never too late, never time to behave. Reaching for dreams, doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself, unleashed from her cage. She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you.